Please, could you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, to the very first Psalm. We're going to read three verses from the New Testament as well, but let's just read the first Psalm first. And this is what we're going to be thinking about later in the service. It's on page 538. Page 538, although if you open the Bible in the middle, you'll normally be somewhere in the Psalms. So let's read Psalm 1. This is God's word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And then turn over with me to the New Testament, to Matthew's Gospel account. Matthew chapter 7. I'm reading from verse 21. It's on page 937. Page 937. Matthew chapter 7 at verse 21. And we're just really jumping into Jesus as he's speaking, declaring the Sermon on the Mount. And this is coming towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7 verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Amen. May God bless to us these readings from his holy word. And just a few things to be thinking about as we would be considering God's word later in the service. But first of all, let me just ask a question to see if you were listening last week. Why did God make the world?
For his pleasure.
For his pleasure. That's right, for his glory. He didn't make the world to please us. He didn't make the world because he was lonely. He made the world for his glory, for his pleasure, because he's the greatest one. And the best thing we can do is to give glory to him. Okay, today, I want you to be thinking, maybe this is for the younger ones, but everyone can listen. As we were reading that psalm through, how many different kinds of people are there in that psalm? And we're going to be thinking particularly about the righteous person. What is it that the righteous person does? What is the righteous person like? And what future is there for the righteous person? What can the righteous person expect in the future? So be thinking about those things. How many kinds of people are there in the psalm? What does the righteous person do? What is the righteous person like? And what can the righteous person expect in the future? Happiness. Happiness. The greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I have been blessed with more than my share of happiness. Can anybody tell me who sang that? Good. Good. There's older people in the room, I'm aware. Who can remember that? Well, I really should say who sings that, because Ken Dodd's still on the go. at 84 years of age. And his tour, his present tour, is called the Happiness Tour. And that song, whenever you hear him sing it, it does give you a lift. If you go out into the street, if you were to do that today, and if you were to ask people what they want for themselves, or what they want for their children, I think most of them would say, I want to be happy. I want my children to be happy. And that's a good and a worthwhile goal. There's not many of us who want to be sad or miserable. Even those who commit crime or those who drink too much wine, they're doing that because they want to change. They want to be happy. Well, what the first psalm is telling us is how to be happy. That's what we could use as the title, How to Be Happy. Now, happy is rather a tricky word. Do you know where the word happy comes from? Well, let me ask you this. What does the word perhaps mean? Maybe. Yes. You can see the hap from happy in the word perhaps. Perhaps. It means literally through chance. Per through haps chance. So it may be or it may not be. The word happy is related to the word chance. In other words, it's not definitely going to happen. In fact, I came across another song just to let you see that I am a little in touch with the modern world. A more recent song called Happiness. And it actually says this. Happiness feels a lot like sorrow. You can't make it come or go. It's by some group called The Fray, if you know who they are. Now, our Bible version uses the word blessed instead of the word happy, the very first word of the psalm. But what it actually says in the Hebrew is, oh, the happinesses, more than one. Oh, the happinesses of the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, the life of this person is overflowing with happiness. Now, who is it who's saying this? Who is saying, oh, the happinesses of this person? Well, whose word is this? This is God who's saying this. God doesn't want our happiness to be maybe, maybe not. He doesn't want our happiness to depend on the good weather or on our good health. He wants us to be happy when the sun shines and in a couple of minutes whenever it's pouring again. He wants us to be happy when we've had a good day and when everything has gone against us. Both when we're well and when we're sick. This is a prescription for our whole life. And he wants that happiness to come not from toys or from games or from feelings. He wants that happiness to come from being related to him, knowing him. When you're in a family, you enjoy what the family enjoys. Good food, good fellowship, great holidays. In God's family, there's so much more. This book, to feed your soul every day. Other believers as your brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus as your Savior and as your friend. And heaven, not just for a holiday, but for good. Isn't that the kind of happiness you want? Happiness that doesn't slip through your fingers. Happiness that's always there. Well, in this psalm, God tells us how it can be ours. Now, as you can see, with the little gaps in the psalm on the page there, our Bible version divides this psalm into three. The first section has three verses, the second has two, and the last has just one verse. Now, I would like to divide the psalm into three, but I want to divide it in three equal parts, each with two verses. And if we divide it like that, we'll see a contrast in each section. A contrast is where two things that aren't the same are set side by side. Let me just show you. Like these lovely pearls. Now you can see that those pearls, that's a nice string of pearls, quite nice. But if I then set them on some black material, you can see them so much better. They seem to shine so much better. If you set a nice diamond on that black cloth, it'll sparkle because of the contrast. And really, our lives, by nature, are like the black cloth. But the pearls is what we can become by trusting in Jesus. And in each section of the psalm, we have this contrast. On the one hand, we have what David, the psalmist, calls the righteous person. He uses that word in verse 6, but really it's right through the whole psalm. Now, this could be a man, or a woman, or a boy, or a girl. The righteous person, David is saying, is blessed, is happy. On the other hand, we have what David calls in each section the ungodly person. This person is not blessed. This person is far from happy. Which person are you today? Well, let's look at the psalm and find out. Let's look first of all at what the righteous person does in the first two verses. What the righteous person does. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now notice what David doesn't say at the very start. He doesn't say blessed or happy is the person who chases after happiness. That's where many people in the world are going wrong today. They think, I'll do this, whatever it is, because it'll make me happy. They don't think, I'll do this because it's right, or I'll do this because God tells me. And then when they chase after happiness, they can't understand why they don't find it. And the answer is because it doesn't work that way. If it did work that way, it would make you very, very selfish. However, if you do what's right, no matter what anybody else does, if you do what God says in the Bible, then you'll discover one day that you are happy. Now, in verse 1, the righteous person is saying no. And in verse 2, he's saying yes. Sometimes it's wise to say no. At other times, it's right to say yes. If you're always saying no, that will discourage other people and that will drive other people away from you. But if you're always saying yes, it shows that you're too easily moved by what other people want. Remember what we were singing in that first psalm. Those who love the Lord must wrong reject. Those who love the Lord must reject wrong. There is wrong in the world, and we must say no to it. And if you look at verse 1, there are three different types of wrong that you've got to be on the lookout for. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, 1, nor stands in the path of sinners, 2, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, 3. Imagine, believer, that you're out for a walk one day and you meet someone who you know does not love Jesus. And that other person is walking in the opposite direction. But he or she wants to talk to you, wants to give you some advice. You don't want to read that old book, the Bible, he says. You don't want to listen to Christians. You want to enjoy yourself. You want to please yourself, even if it hurts others. This person doesn't believe in the God of the Bible. And he doesn't want you to believe in the God of the Bible either. Now, if you start to listen to that person, and if you head off, if you change direction, and if you head off where that person is going, then he'll lead you to the second group. He'll lead you to a group of friends standing chatting. And you know these people as well. They seem to be planning something. And they want you to join in. When I was working in the prison, sometimes you would see maybe two or three men standing together, whispering. And you knew that something was up. Something nasty was being planned. And if you join these people, even though you know it's wrong, pretty soon you'll be in the third group. Pretty soon you'll be sitting down round a table drinking with them. And someone else comes past, and the whole group starts to call that person names and make fun of him. Bible basher. Out of date dinosaur. And you take part in the name calling. And then it hits you. This person being mocked loves Jesus. You should be standing up for that person. And that's how sin can creep up on you. You need to see it. You need to stop it before it takes you over. Sometimes the believer has to stand alone. But when he does, when she does, you're standing with Jesus. You see, the righteous person doesn't believe what the ungodly person believes. He doesn't behave as the ungodly person behaves. He has a new owner. He's moving in a different direction. Nor does he belong with people who would make fun of his Savior. Now, that doesn't mean you never mix with unbelievers. But it does mean that you don't copy them. So that's what the righteous person says no to. It's quite a lot. Because it's talking about thoughts and words and actions. It shows how wide and how deep sin is in the world. So what does the righteous person say yes to? Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. There's just one thing mentioned in this verse. But here the one thing is enough. It covers all of our lives. The righteous person says yes to the law of the Lord. Now don't misunderstand me here. Law doesn't mean the law and order that the police enforce. Law means instruction or teaching from the God who loves his people. It can actually just mean scripture. And this verse says, the righteous man doesn't just read the Bible as a duty, and then he forgets about it. No, it's a delight. He loves to read the Bible. It's a letter to him personally, from the mighty, magnificent, forgiving, and loving God. And according to this verse, he seems to be reading it more than once in the day. Day and night, the verse says. I remember when I was studying in America, and Anne was sending me letters. We weren't married at that time. I wouldn't just read a letter once and then throw it in the bin. I would read it when I first got it, and then later in the day I would read it again, and later in the week I'd read it again. When you love someone, that's how you treat their words. In his law he meditates day and night. Meditates means chews over, like a cow chewing the cud, getting all the good there is out of the food. Thinking about God's word, talking to God about it, growing strong by it. You know, there's a saying that people who are trying to lose weight use. You are what you eat. And in one sense, that's true. It's important what you put into your body. But what God is saying in this verse is much more important. You are what you think. What you think affects what you say. And what you say affects what you do. Well, is your mind shaped by the Bible? Do you think God is the greatest person there is, who controls everything? Do you agree with God whenever he tells you in his word that you are a sinner through and through? Do you think that Jesus coming into this world and living and dying and rising again, do you think that that's the best news you've ever heard? If you can say yes to those questions, then this Bible is your book. And you're a righteous person. And God says, you're happy. But if the Bible is still largely a closed book to you, an unpleasant book, then you're still ungodly. Why not ask God for the appetite to read his word? The righteous person says no to the sinful world. The righteous person says yes to God in his word. That's what the righteous person does. Let's now look for a minute at what the righteous person is like. What the righteous person is like. Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is a powerful picture. I haven't seen the children's film, not long out, called The Lorax. Not sure if any of you have seen it yet. It seems to take place in a world where there are no trees left. And all they have are paintings of trees on the walls of buildings. Well, here, just to let you see what God is saying, because he's using picture language, he says the righteous person is like a tree, a fruit tree, growing beside streams of water. Trees are amazing things. They allow all kinds of little animals and birds to live in their branches. They keep the soil from blowing away. They help to provide the oxygen we breathe. And they give us delicious fruit. But the main thing that God wants to say about this tree, about the righteous person, is that it's planted. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree doesn't plant itself. It has to be planted by somebody else. Indeed, it has to be created before it's planted. And that's really talking about what a Christian is. Something has happened to him. Something has happened to her. God has put new life into that person. That's what Jesus means when he speaks to Nicodemus, the Jewish leader who came to see him at night. Just keep your finger in Psalm 1. Turn over with me to John chapter 3 for a minute. John chapter 3. It's on page 1033. Just look at what Jesus says to Nicodemus in verse 3 of chapter 3. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So what Jesus is saying is, you cannot be a Christian, you cannot be a member of God's kingdom until you're born again. You can't make yourself a Christian by praying or by reading the Bible. You can't make yourself a Christian by doing good. You do all those things after you become a Christian. But you need God, first of all, to put new life into you. Or to come back to Psalm 1. You need God to plant you by those rivers. And notice that there's more than one river. So there's always going to be water. You need God to plant you by the Holy Spirit so that you can draw up strength from him to keep you living. And when you think about how a tree is planted, the planting means that the soil has been disturbed, the soil has been dug up, and then the soil has been pressed down again around the tree. Have you known God disturbing you, showing you your sin, showing you that really God hasn't been in your life? Have you believed in all that Jesus has done? If you have, then you have the life of Jesus in you. And then as verse 3 goes on to talk about, there are signs of a new nature that brings forth its fruit. The fruit of God's Spirit is growing in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, and more. It's fruit in its season, when it's expected. People can rely on you now, whose leaf shall not wither. You're ready for tough times. You're ready when the drought comes. Not because you're strong, but because you're joined to him and he's still giving you the water you need. Whatever he does shall prosper. That doesn't mean that everything you touch will turn to gold. But it does mean that if you're joined to Jesus, God will bless your life and through you others. Your life will amount to something. Others will be able to thank God for you, since they came to know God through you. That's what the righteous person is like. Alive, dependable, durable, lasting, successful. But just look at the contrast. What the ungodly man is like in verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Not so, he says, the ungodly. Not so. And in one sentence, he deals with them. If you're not a believer yet, you're not like a tree, cared and planted, cared for and planted. Perhaps things aren't going too badly for you now. You may manage all right for a while, but when the drought comes, family problems, serious illness, what will nourish you? What will keep you going? If you're not right with God, then there's no fruit. God is feeding you, God is clothing you, God is keeping you alive, but you're doing nothing in his kingdom. You're not in his kingdom. God says, you're like chaff. There's the picture of chaff. And this is an extreme picture. The chaff is the outer shell around the grain. After all, the stalks of grain have been cut down and gathered together. They beat the heads of the grain and then throw them up in the air. And that's what this man is doing, throwing up the grain in the air. And the heads of grain, the seeds themselves, fall back down. But the chaff just blows away, as verse 4 says. There's nothing to it. It's got no roots. It's got no taste. It doesn't do anybody any good. It has no value. I heard somebody on a TV program the other day saying, I don't think I've done anything worthwhile in my whole life. That's what the chaff is. There's nothing growing with chaff. There's no life there. Yes, the chaff is close to the grain for a while, but being close isn't good enough. You may be close to righteous people, people who've been put right with God, but that's not good enough. You must be righteous. You must give up your independence, your sinfulness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might no longer be chaff, but might become a tree planted by rivers of water. What the righteous person does, what the righteous person is like, and finally, what the righteous person can expect. What the righteous person can expect. And that's in the last two verses of the psalm. And this time, what happens with the ungodly person comes first. And it's tied in with who he is and what he's been doing. That's why verse 5 starts with, therefore. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There's a time coming when the person who doesn't love Jesus will be separated from those who do. The Bible calls that judgment. Now, some people think that judgment is only in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have a God who loves everyone. Well, I want you to believe me when I tell you that this verse comes from the New Testament. It's a verse that comes from the book of Hebrews. And it says, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And let's just check out another verse ourselves, just to make sure of this. Just turn with me to Acts chapter 17, please. Acts 17 and verse 31. It's on page 1082. 1082. Acts 17 and verse 31. This is Paul preaching in Athens. And he's bringing his sermon to a conclusion in verse 31. And he says, because he, that is God, has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So Jesus, the King of love, the risen one, will be the judge. And he'll ask you, he'll ask me, did you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength? And did you love your neighbor as you already love yourself? Did you believe that I died for your sin? If you reply to him, that's too hard. No one can do that. He will reply to you, but I loved God like that. If you trusted in me, then you would have my righteousness. As verse 6 of Psalm 1 says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now it's the unbeliever who's alone. His path leads away from God to everlasting destruction. But what can the righteous person expect? There's a lovely phrase in verse 6, Psalm 1, verse 6, that sums that up. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Now just notice what it is that the psalmist is saying. It's not the righteous knowing the way of the Lord. That's important. It's much sweeter than that. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, approves that way, protects that way, loves those people. So just turn lastly with me to that other passage we read earlier. This is the last thing we'll look at. Matthew chapter 7, page 937. Verses 21 to 23 on that page, page 937. And as Jesus says, there are many people who will be dreadfully disappointed on that day of judgment. As you can see in verse 23, Jesus will have to say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. But if you follow verse 21, at the end, if you do the will of God in heaven, if you admit your sinfulness to him, and if you believe that Jesus died to make you righteous, then Jesus does know you, and he will know you. And that is happiness forever and forever. Let's stand as we pray. Our Father, the words of that first psalm are simple and plain and straightforward. Help us not to make them difficult. Help us to see that we all start out like chaff. To see that we want to run our lives our way without your word. And Lord, help us to see in the teaching of that psalm where that way leads. Help us to come to Jesus, to ask for the righteousness that he has in himself, the righteousness that he gives through his death on the cross, through his rising again. Help us to love him with all that we have, and to delight in your word, so that when that great day of judgment comes, Jesus can say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, enter now into the joy of your Lord. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Close our service by singing which psalm? Psalm 1. Page 1, Psalm 1A. We sing to the tune Stella, number 269. And just see how it's divided here into the three sections. What the righteous person does in the first stanza, what the righteous person is in the second stanza, and then what the righteous and the wicked can expect. And just one other thought to do with the chaff and the tree. Jesus, the righteous one, was treated like chaff. He was blown away by the winds of God's anger. so that we may be planted, so that we may be God's people forever. Psalm 1a, let us praise God. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.